So I don't know of any other statute in the code where an income tax is imposed on an expense. We have excise taxes and state taxes. We have taxes, capital gains taxes. We have taxes that are imposed on transactions. But this is an income tax, which I always thought had to be imposed on income. This isn't imposed on income. It's essentially imposed on an expense. I don't know if that's constitutional or not. I'm not a constitutional lawyer. I know there have been a lot of cases over the years on the constitutionality of various tax provisions that have been enacted. Most of those cases end up upholding the tax that's imposed, but it's always struck me as at least questionable from a constitutional standpoint as to whether you can impose an income tax on an expense. That being said, let's look at the sort of the basic way the statute works itself. And the key thing to remember here is that the tax, the increase in UBTI, is governed by the expenses that the institution pays. So here's a simple example where institution gets a bit of a quantity discount for a transit pass and pays $4.25 to the transit company and receives in return 5 transit passes, each of which the value of each of which are worth $1 apiece. And so it takes those 5 transit passes and distributes them to 5 employees. So the question is, how do you compute the tax increase under this scenario? One could say that you look at the amount that is provided to the individuals, which would be $5, but the statute says that you don't look at that. You look at the amount that the institution pays for the benefit, which in this case is 4.25. So the UBTI increase in this situation would be $4.25.
So that's where the easy part stops, and then it gets more complicated. So many of us, especially in higher education, have compensation reduction agreements at our university. And so you've probably received a number of kind of objections to this tax, and the objections take a number of forms. One might be, well, wait a second, our employees are paying for this, and so we're not providing any sort of benefit to them. So there's that one. Another objection would be, well, wait, we should be looking at the value of the ticket being provided to the employee, and Bert's addressed that one. And then perhaps the third one would be, well, in this scenario, shouldn't we be looking, for the UBTI, shouldn't we be looking at what the employee is paying to us? Because that looks like income, and this is an income tax, and so it's very intuitive in this scenario to say that we should look at the dollar. And so taking kind of a deep dive for a moment on how compensation reduction agreements work will kind of reveal why the UBTI increase will continue to be based on the expense in the upper left of the diagram, just as it was on Bert's slide. So it looks like our employees are paying us, but what's actually happening is something different, and many of you have already encountered this. So what's happening is we're giving our employees a choice. In this scenario, we're telling the employee, you can receive your normal salary of $4, or you can receive a salary of $3 and a transit pass. Your choice, no pressure, choose whichever you want. And if you choose the transit pass, well then Section 132A5 is going to come into play, and it will ensure that you are not taxed on the value of your transit pass, because that will be a qualified transportation fringe, and you won't be deemed to be in constructive receipt of that fourth dollar that you could have claimed, because normally when you choose to give up money, you might be in constructive receipt of it, but in this case the statute says the transit pass will be tax-free and no constructive receipt on the fourth dollar, and that's why it looks like a pre-tax payment, because the code kind of does this manipulation of sorts to provide that they're really only receiving $3 on their transit pass. So when the employee makes this choice, then they're not actually making a payment at all. They've simply made their choice, and what we're providing them is $3 plus a transit pass, and so that eliminates kind of this perception of the employee paying something, even though in substance they sort of are. And so in form, they're not making a payment. The only payment that's happening is actually from the university to the transit operator. That payment may or may not equal what the employee is foregoing. When it's a third-party transaction like this, when you're doing a transit pass and it's kind of a flow-through, then very often the two amounts will be the same. The employee will give up a dollar, and the university will then send a dollar to the transit operator. That's pretty common. I think what a lot of us have found is that when what the employee is paying for is actually university-operated parking, then the amount that the employee is paying might not correspond that closely to what the university actually spends on its in-house expenses for parking. Maybe they're intended to be somewhat similar, but in-house expenses, I mean, those are going to go up and down every year, and the amount that you're charging your employees isn't going to have that same fluctuation over the course of the year. And so it may be an approximation, but the amount you'll want to focus on in each case is the amount that's being paid, in this case, to the transit operator. In some cases, it may be a third-party parking operator. And in some cases, it's going to be salaries to your own employees and similar expenses.